Chapter 2. What a Web We Weave. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. Psalm 90, verse 8. Keeping my stories straight. I ended up marrying the father of my second baby, and it was a little hard to keep my stories straight. He knew about my first abortion, but not the second. My parents knew about the second one, but not the first. In many ways, I knew my state of mind was in poor condition. I was so angry with myself. Many times I felt and exhibited rage because, well, I didn't exactly know why. Most likely it had something to do with the fact that I could never fix the mess I'd made of my life. I couldn't even process through many of my feelings or recognize how many of them came from my abortion experiences. I began sorting it out shortly after I was married and working at a Christian university. There was a large painting of Jesus on the cross with a list nailed with one of his hands. I couldn't tell what was on that list, but I knew what was on the top of my list. Abortion. Then I saw the scripture at the bottom of the painting. Having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Colossians 2:14. I stood there with tears brimming. For the first time, I saw my sin through God's eyes and confessed before him, realizing what my sin had cost him and recognizing that my debt truly was canceled. God had forgiven me. Though I had a hierarchy of sin in my mind, with abortion being the worst, God's word makes it clear that all sin is sin deserving death, regardless of our human view that one is worse than the other. Certainly, consequences from some are worse. As time went on, it was clear that his forgiveness did not remove the natural consequences of my sin, and I had great difficulty accepting his forgiveness. I felt I needed to continue asking for it. When I got pregnant on purpose, I began reading about fetal development. I was devastated to learn the stages my babies were in when I aborted them. Fingers, toes, beating hearts. They were not just pieces of tissue, but tiny babies. Around that time, I also received information about abortion and the procedures done for different stages. With pictures, I became suicidal. But if I killed myself, I'd be killing yet another baby, so I was trapped. Just as I didn't feel I could tell another Christian about my pregnancies, I knew there was no one I could talk to about the horror I was experiencing. So I just tried to pretend everything was fine. After my beautiful son was born, I began having gruesome nightmares about him being killed, kidnapped, or drowned. Over and over, I'd hear him crying, so I'd check on him, but he would be sleeping soundly. It happened repeatedly, night after night. Of course, there were times when he really did cry, because that's what babies do. I have learned since then that what I experienced is called audible hallucinations. I was truly on the edge of insanity. I went through all the motions of being a good mom, but I could never really bond with my son, though he bonded with me. How can you bond with someone you lose every night in your dreams? I knew I desperately needed help, but didn't know with whom to talk about it without getting worse judgment than when I went to the church for counsel with my first pregnancy.